Let's meet two patients who have used triptans. Donna, a current patient of Dr. Dodick, and her husband, Michael, live in Tucson, Arizona. Both have had migraines for over 20 years, and the migraine-specific triptans have provided them with relief for much of that time.
Clear flaps.
I was interested in flying since I was able to read books. About 3 years ago, for a Christmas gift, Donna got me flying lessons. I've gone through the whole training process and got my certificate as a private pilot. It's just a fantastic feeling once you're plowing down the runway and the wheels come up, you're off the ground. It's just this feeling of ultimate freedom. It's indescribable. To be up in the airplane, she always likes taking pictures or short movie clips. It's kind of a neat thing because it's something that we both share together.
I love photography. I mean, I'm fortunate Michael's got his pilot's license and I've got my photography, so it's a pretty good team there. I guess it was about 1980. And I had my first migraine then, and I really didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't have another one for several years later. I was in the military, served during Desert Storm. Shortly after my separation from the military, the migraines started coming, and that's when they started coming with a vengeance. I went to the doctor. I got put in on sumatriptan.
I could empathize with Donna because I also suffered from migraines. I was in second year of college, right after organic chemistry lab. I would get this intense headache that was unilateral on one side of my face, and it was accompanied with nausea. Now, I never sought medical attention for it because I thought it was a headache. I would take antihistamines and aspirin, and that wouldn't do a whole lot. And I just toughed it out, just suffered through it, and let it go away. Over the years, I realized that these headaches were not the normal kind of a headache. And eventually, I would talk about that to my primary care physician. And the idea that perhaps this is a migraine was mentioned. I first started taking sumatriptan when it was in the injectable form. I had been taking it for close to about 15 years or so, from the self-injection to the intranasal spray and the pills.
When you first feel the headache coming on, that's when you first take it. Find a place to sit down and just relax. Let it run its course for 25 minutes. I carried a prescription with me everywhere I went. It went with me just like my driver's license did. I was on it for 20 years, I believe.
Hey, sweetie.
Hi, puppy. Okay.
About 4 years ago, I believe, I switched to a rizatriptan. It dissolves in your mouth, and it has a faster onset. It's another triptan. It worked just as well. I used to get migraines much more frequently than I do now. And I think that over the past year, maybe I've had six.
I've got to be migraine-free so I can function. It changed my life. That's what it did.
I certainly hear that from patients all the time, that effective treatments for their headaches, the triptans or other specific medications, really do change their lives. But I think that also illustrates something else very important, and that is that treatment that is appropriate and effective at one stage in a patient's life may not be the right thing for them later on.
Oh, that's exactly right, Liz. And in fact, when she came to see me, the triptan that had worked for her for so long had stopped working. She was developing increasingly frequent headaches to the point where she was having them almost daily, migraines, and she was using her triptan almost daily, and the triptan may have actually been contributing to the problem. So that's something that a physician, a challenge that a physician faces often in practice, and it's a challenge that they need to confront. And the way we confronted it was we put her on a preventative medication and we switched her triptan. Not only did we switch her triptan, but we combined it with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug and an antiemetic. So she used a combination or a cocktail, if you will, every time she developed a migraine attack.
Now, let's talk about another class of migraine-specific medications, the ergots. How do ergots work and what's the evidence for their effectiveness?
Well, ergotamine and related drugs are not widely used anymore. They used to be the mainstay of migraine-specific treatment before the advent of the triptans. And to some extent, they work in a way similar to the triptans, but they also have a lot of other unwanted effects that produce side effects such as nausea, intense vasoconstriction, and they were also prone to causing overuse syndromes. The exception to the rule that we don't use a lot of ergot-based drugs anymore is dihydroergotamine, or DHE. That is available in a nasal spray formulation that many patients use for acute treatment, but it's also available in a parenteral form, and it's very useful in an emergency setting or in treating patients who have complex types of migraine, particularly long-lasting migraine.
DHE, while it binds to the very same receptors that triptans do, they bind to other receptors as well. So they're not as clean, if you will, or they're not as precise as the triptans, but that sort of peripheral effect that they have by binding to other receptors may be what accounts for the fact that in some patients who don't respond to triptans, they may respond to DHE.
We've talked about migraine-specific medications and NSAIDs for treating migraines, but what about opioids? Is there a role for opioids in treating migraines?
In general, opioids are overused. They have many more side effects than the specific medications we've talked about for the treatment of migraine, and patients can develop overuse of opioids, which can produce a daily headache or even addiction. It's also important to realize that patients who use frequent opioids often develop what we call opioid-induced hyperalgesia. The opioids themselves produce increased pain. With that said, I will use opioids as the rescue medication when the first-line treatment fails.
Yeah, and as Steve said, I think there are other clinical circumstances in addition to rescue therapy where opioids may be useful even as a first-line therapy. So, for example, if there is a patient who has cardiovascular disease or has many risk factors for cardiovascular disease, it's perfectly appropriate, if the attacks are infrequent, once a month, twice a month, or less, to be using opioid as first-line therapy in those patients. Also in pregnant women, because migraine-specific medications may not be indicated or contraindicated in those patients, opioids can be used for first-line therapy in pregnant patients as well. So there are clinical circumstances where opioids can be first-line therapy with the caveats that Steve mentioned about the potential for overuse. So once you see frequency and use start to increase, it's that's your signal that you need to start pulling back.
Yeah, there certainly are situations where opioids are appropriate, and David just listed some of them. But I think in the patient for whom triptans or migraine-specific medication is not contraindicated, I'd really discourage the use of opioids. For a chronic condition with recurrent attacks over time in a young, otherwise healthy population, to use a medication that impairs function rather than allows them to function, it's hard to defend because over time the negative effects of that kind of treatment build up.
It seems as if triptans and NSAIDs are commonly used to treat migraine. Can the two medications be combined?
Yes, they can be combined, and there's good scientific evidence for the combination. As I talked a little bit earlier, the migraine attack may begin in the lining of the brain, and after the attack progresses, that information, that pain fibers, activate the brainstem itself, producing central sensitization. We have multiple mechanisms of migraine. The nerve component and the neuroinflammatory component in the brainstem. Nonsteroidals work to cover the neuroinflammatory component of migraine. the triptans work to cut down conduction of the pain signals into the brain. So therefore, there's a scientific basis for the combination. In addition, trials have been done. It's clearly shown that the combination of a triptan and nonsteroidal is superior to a triptan alone, which is superior to a nonsteroidal alone, which is superior to placebo. So with both good clinical and scientific evidence, the combination is effective for the treatment of migraine.
Yeah, I think for many years, doctors in treating many conditions have recognized that in patients who don't respond optimally to single drug therapy, there's a role for combining medications that have different mechanisms of action. And migraine is no exception, and we now have evidence that combining different classes of medication, for example, the triptans and the anti-inflammatory medications, or perhaps drugs that work in other ways, can be a highly effective way of managing that subset of patients who don't do well with a single drug.
Yeah, I'd like to key on your point, Liz, of subset, because it's important that we don't overemphasize the use of combination medications, because many patients in clinical practice will be able to get along just fine with a single triptan medication. But like you saw with Donna, where she stopped responding to the triptan medication, there is a perfect example of where we combine the triptan with a nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medication and an antiemetic, and she's now getting a response within 30 minutes to that combination. So in a subset of patients, as Liz alluded to, combinations can be very effective when they're not responding optimally to a single medication alone.
Yeah, and that's a common clinical scenario. A patient who's been doing well on a treatment that the doctor thinks is optimized and then suddenly stops doing well. What do I do now? Yeah.